So welcome to our insulin resistance practitioner training, open coaching, question and answer, support call. And I'm really excited to be here. And I'm really excited to be doing these weekly, because when we were doing them less frequently, like once a month, I felt like it was easy for you guys to lose traction, but also for me to lose track of where everybody was. So I really like having these calls on a weekly basis. So we're going to start, because there's been a lot of questions about things like bonuses, and like Leah just asked about where certain things are. I'm going to take about 5 minutes just to share my screen and show you what's in the site. I just made sure that the bonuses page had everything that we promised you on the page, and that you should be able to see it. And I know somebody wrote on Facebook that they weren't able to see it, and somebody, Aaliyah, said, yeah, I see it. So we'll see what the problem is, if there's a problem in the back end, or maybe you just aren't looking in the right place. So I'm going to share my screen, and then I want to share, Leah just asked about some assessments to use with people, and I want to share where you can find those. So let's see. I go here, and I know I had a window open a minute ago. Okay, we'll go here, and then I will go to here. This is a different program. Let me go down to, so when you get in, can you see my screen now? Yeah, so when you get in, you go down the side. You're not going to see all this stuff because I see everything in the program. You're going to go down to insulin resistance. Right? And you just click that main button. You can also see all the modules under it, whichever ones are open to you so far. You see where it says bonuses up at the top? Okay. You see where it's the second one says IRSPT bonus index. And then over to the side, it says 2020.04 bonuses. So we click that link. And it has a link for a VIP ticket to Shine Online. Ticket to our 3-day live conference, which you can put a deposit down and save your seat there as well. This is one of the bonuses we offered, was the thyroid balancing step-by-step ebook and video. I added a couple of extras, a body systems food chart. I think we gave that away during one of the webinars, but it's a really cool chart that lists, I'll show you. I just like different foods and hormones, foods and herbs that support the different. So this is food, and then for the different main systems of the body, just a little extra. And then there's herbal support. So those of you who are Chinese medicine people or herbalists maybe like seeing this as an oversimplified thing, but it's really just a general idea, and it's a good reference cheat sheet when you're working with somebody to go, you know, I think this, oh yeah, and they have this, and they have this might be a really good herb for us to work with, or a specific set of foods that we can have them do. So that was an extra bonus that I threw in there. Let me see if I go backwards. And then there was the blood sugar balancing presentation in a box. So if you guys want to start doing little talks in your neighborhood, this is an older one. I think I added, yes. So this is my very original, like 8 years ago presentation. So you can see how I was presenting it. You get the audio, the video, the PowerPoint, and then PDFs of the slides, and then a transcript in a PDF, but also in a doc. And the reason I did it in a doc also is so that you can click it and go, I want to say this, I'm going to add my piece here. And you can actually have a script for yourself to do a talk. You might do a shortened version, you might do a longer version, but you've got, this is like, make it your own. You don't have to put my copyright on it. You can just make these your own. And then I have a newer one, which this was from last year, for that we offered the sweet spot from it. So you can see how I transition into an offer, you know, whatever it is you're going to do, you're going to change all that, but you've got all that right there. Okay. So that's what that is. And then if we go backwards here, access to the vault, and that's just a list, a collection of all of the calls that we've done in the past. So live calls from previous programs, you can see we've been doing this a while. So you've got every year that we've done this live, you've got access to the recordings. If you click any of them on, I wonder, you can, you know, when you're doing nothing or driving in the car or hanging out doing laundry, you can go look and listen to what was happening on these calls, and you can see what kind of questions were asked. Some people love to do that and go back and listen to every call that was ever recorded. And some people don't. So it's just there for you, right? You get bored someday. This is something, an extra. I mentioned this on a call, I think last week or the week before, that people were asking about autoimmune and FODMAPs and SIBO. I had put together this and I said I would give it to you. So this is my version of a phase one autoimmune protocol. So it's elimination and then introduce back in. So these are the things that maybe you have somebody do for a couple of weeks, and then you start to introduce the foods back in. And then you create a customized plan for them. So you've got that. And then the SIBO. I hear people coming in, you may see this too in your own practices. Oh, I've been on a FODMAP diet, low FODMAP diet for the last 2 years. It's not intended to be a two-year diet. It's intended to be a transition, 2 to 3 months at the most, and then you're just adding foods back in. It's to give the gut a chance to heal. So I talk about it. I took the combination of specific carbohydrate and FODMAP, where they overlapped, and how you can create a really safe kind of diet for someone with SIBO. But the goal is always, it's like an elimination diet. So I give you a page of vegetables and I organized it by green foods. These are the ones that most people can do. Obviously, you know, some people have a nightshade problem, so they're not going to be doing eggplant. So you're going to use this to customize a diet for someone. So if you're working with somebody on blood sugar balance and they're like, they're stuck, right? They're doing all the right things, but they're stuck. There may be some other things going on that you can pull out of your bag of tricks to help them with. So this is the moderate FODMAP high and avoid while healing SIBO list. Same thing with fruits, same thing with legumes, beans, nuts and seeds, dairy, eggs, meats, seasonings, sweeteners and beverages, and fats and oils, right? And in here, I describe, like, you do this, and then you start to add these things back. But if somebody goes on this diet where they're on all the green stuff, and they go, okay, I'm done, I want to go back and add stuff, you're not going to go to red, right? You're going to look at what's in here, what's in this yellow column that I can start to add. And you ask them, what are you missing the most? Are you missing tomato? Are you missing spinach? Let's test some of these things, and then you can gradually build back a repertoire. Our goal as practitioners is not to severely limit our clients' diets, right? It's obviously to take out the bad foods, right? The stuff that hurts everybody. But it's not to further limit their diet, but temporarily limit and then allow them to heal and add stuff back. So anyway, I gave you that as bonus. And that's what the page looks like. So you should be able to see, everybody should go to bonuses and you just hover your mouse there. You'll see the dropdown, you'll see IRSPT. You may not see CMDS or any PT because if you're not in those programs, you're not going to see it. Like Lynn Rose will see all of that because she's in all of those other programs too. So she goes, you go down here and then you just hover your mouse, you don't click it, and then you'll see these. If you do accidentally click it or purposefully click it, you get to a main bonus page that hasn't been updated. It doesn't have access to the others. So this one needs to be updated. And I'll make a note of that for our team to do that. We have so many pages, it's hard to keep them all up to speed. RSPT bonus page. All right. So just go here, hover it, go to 2020, click it, and you'll see all the bonuses. Okay. And then the other thing I wanted to show you, you were asking about assessments, Leah. So if we go to, I'm not sure if they're here or if you have to go over, but they should be here. So if I go to assessments and labs, and a lot of times things are in the done for you. So done for you resources. We'll see, because I think there's a lot of assessments in that on that sheet that you can use. So you can see where they are, have them do the insulin resistance, and that gives them a score. You can either use the PDF as is, or you can take the doc and edit it and add your own questions if you want. And then all these other things that are lifestyle assessments to see where they're at the beginning, and then you can have them do it throughout. Does that help? Yes? Okay, cool. And if you're not seeing labs and assessments open, what it means is you didn't take the test for the previous. So in order to get the next and the next and the next module open, you need to take the test for the previous one. And so you basically go to module exam on anything previous and you take your test And once you take your test and you pass it, then you get marked in the system and it opens it up. So I just took it. I got one wrong when I took it. But anyway, it's set up so that if you get 80% or more, you're good. And if not, you just kind of go back into the material. It's all open book and figure out, you know, what questions you got wrong. What's the correct answer? We don't tell you the correct answer here. We tell you to go look it up, right? Because just telling you the correct answer just says, okay, I'll just do the test again and I'll put it in without really knowing that you understand the material. And there's one of these for each of the modules. And once you pass it, then it automatically in the back end will open it up. You may have to refresh your page. You may have to go up to the top here and hit a refresh the page to see it again. Sometimes, rarely, I think in the old version of this program, you had to log out and then log back in again. But if you pass a test and you don't see the next module pop up, then you either refresh your page, and if that doesn't work, you log out. Questions about that? Yeah, go ahead, Leah.
Sorry, it's probably just the way I've been working through it, but on the digestive mastery, it did have it at the bottom of every page. And so, as you say, you did it and then you knew that you were okay to go on. I was on the understanding that this was just one complete exam. So that's been my misunderstanding.
Oh.
I can see it like that, but I haven't been doing it as I've been going along. I've just been mentally thinking I'll go back and do the full exam. Do you see what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah. So it's set up, and I don't know why the person that set it up for us is no longer on our team, but she set up insulin resistance so that each one could have its own module exam and because they're actually separate. They could be separate programs. I don't know why she set it up that way. With CMDS, it's you get to the end, you pass the little quiz, but the whole thing is actually open to you. From the beginning, is that right? You don't have to wait to see everything. Yeah,
exactly. The whole exam obviously is clearly there. I can see that. But the point being is I haven't, when I've reached to the end of a module, I haven't seen a 3 or 4 question thing to tick to get to the next bit.
But all of them are open to you? Like if I go to CMDS?
Yeah, if I go to my CMDS, it would give me 3 or maybe 4 questions at the end of each module that I had to pass in order to get to the next bit. But when I've been working through insulin resistance, I've been doing my module, like I've done my fitness and I've done my sleep and I've done my whatever, just because I'm just in my head, I need those clear because I'm trying to balance last year's sweet spot with this year's sweet spot. And it hasn't been asking me those questions.
So are you seeing all of this on your side? Are you seeing all these modules open to you?
You
may not. The idea is, and when I look at the back end, it's not supposed to. You're supposed to just see when you've passed the test, you get to the next one.
Yeah, no, on digestive mastery, as you say, it's like you have to pass 3, 4 questions in order to move to the next bit. And that's been logical to me. But in insulin resistance, it looked like there was just one exam. And I thought, well, I better not look at that yet. I've got to work.
No. There's one exam for each module. So if you don't have all of these showing, then in order to get the next one and the next one and the next one showing, you've got to pass the one before it.
But that's what I'm saying. I'm not seeing them as 3 or 4 questions at the end of each module on IRSPT.
They're not 3 or 4. There's more like 20 or 30.
I'm not seeing them. Okay.
So look at here. So this is the introduction module.
Yeah.
Right.
And
something happened here. All right. Then you just click to the module exam.
Okay.
And when you pass it, the next one should open. If for some reason you're seeing all of them right now, something's broken in the back end, but it's not going to hurt you. But if you're just seeing it, or if you click on one of these, it doesn't open for you.
Yeah.
It means that it's because you didn't pass the test in the one before.
Okay. I haven't done any tests. That's what I'm saying. So, okay. I'll go back and just have to. So it's not just 3 or 4 in each one. It's several. It's like 20.
It's a comprehensive exam on the whole module.
Okay. Yeah. Okay.
Fine. Okay.
Yeah. Lovely. Thank you.
Yeah. All right. Anybody else have any administrative, technical kind of questions before we go on?
I do. I want to ask about the Laura Fine. So I was on the call on Saturday.
Yeah.
And I see in in my thing that there is a piece of her work that is part of this program, but do we pay separately or is it part of the program? I'm confused.
This program?
Yeah.
This program doesn't, they're totally separate programs. So the Laura Fine program, and if you look back at your screen, where was I? There it is. If you look back at your screen, what you'll see on the side is the list of the, you should be able to click on this transpersonal energy.
Yeah.
And then on the left-hand side, you should see which one, like I have all of them open, but you're only going to see the one, like if you had the create an energy connection, you'll see that there and you'll only see 2020.
But we're not required to do those as part of this program?
No. It is for NEPT for the full certification. You do need to do that. Not everybody. It was a new requirement, but no, you don't have to do them.
Okay. No. If you have a license and you've learned stuff like this in other places, it's not required.
No.
Okay. Just ask.
No, the Laura Fine stuff is optional. It's very helpful.
It is helpful. I can
see it. Very helpful. To help you with the communication. You've got, 25 years of experience working with patients. And so you may not need that stuff. But it's definitely helpful. It was helpful for me, and I've been doing this for over 30 years.
Exactly. Okay.
Is that where you would find that previous Saturday one, the pre-call?
Yeah, if you paid to be in Create an Energy Connection and you were there on Saturday, when you click here on 2020 right there, you're going to see this is the pre-call, the emotional self-sabotage.
Oh, okay.
Okay. And then we just have a temporary link here for the May 16th. I just took the Zoom link and threw it up there, but it will eventually look like the other. And then this is the recording of the other day. You can see it's just like, it's a mess because it hasn't been set up properly or edited. Right. So, but I knew people wanted to listen to it again. So I just threw it out there.
Okay. I just couldn't find it. So now I know where it is. Yeah. Thank you.
And whoops. I know you're in for a treat because you all were like very eager and anxious.
How do I get rid of this?
Up for this based on Laura's presentation a couple.
Okay, sorry. All right, does that help? Anything else before I stop my screen share?
So if we signed up in April, then do we get the energy connection? I guess I'm a little confused about that.
If you signed up in it's not.
I mean early May.
You signed up in for RRSPT, you don't get that for free. You had to pay $49 or $97 to be at Laura's 4-hour thing on Saturday.
Gotcha.
And there are like 180 people or something that did that, and so you're one of those. Yeah. And if you want to get it, you can still do it, and you can get the recording of that if you want. And I can.
Okay.
Okay.
This is Tamara. I'm still having trouble with I've completed module 2. It says that I passed the test and everything. I've refreshed it. I've logged out, logged back in. I still don't have access to module 3.
Okay. So I'm going to make a list of people. Have you written to help desk?
I have not.
Okay. helpdesk@drreadandread.com. Christina will be able to go into your record, look to see if for some reason the tag didn't get set to move you on.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, okay. So you had no problem going from module 1 to 2, but module 2 to 3?
Correct. There was like a little delay, but it did eventually click on.
Yeah, there's, I think we have a delay of some number of hours we can change that, but okay, yeah. Okay, good to know. Anybody else having trouble with that? With passing a test and then not getting the next module?
Mine took an entire week.
Took a week?
I finished the test, yeah, and I was in contact with the help desk several times. I finished it Monday morning, and it didn't open until Friday afternoon.
And which
or maybe even yesterday. It was moving from module 1 to module 2.
Okay. All right, we'll go in there. I know we're redoing that in Infusionsoft to make it cleaner.
Yeah, I think it would help if that was removed, especially I took last week off so that I could do some catch up on it. So yeah, that would help a lot.
Oh, absolutely. And she couldn't just open you?
No, it took several days after talking with her.
All right. I'll have a conversation with Christina about that.
That'd be great. Thanks.
Because it's a real simple thing. She should be able to do that and instantly just give you a tag, and I'll just give her a list of the tags. You can set. Cool. Anybody else?
I want you to know that there's people that don't have problems too. It works good. Great.
Yeah, and we don't, you know, it's like this crazy compute. I'm an old computer science person. I have a master's in computer science. And I know you tell the computer to do something and it does it. It shouldn't matter whether you're Leah or Lynn. I mean, it should do the same thing. So we get very frustrated that it's almost like it has a mind of its own, which I know is not true, but you know, it's kind of crazy. So thank you for letting me, that was Carrie. Was that Carrie that just said that? Or who was that that said that? I thought I recognized Carrie's voice.
That was Anya.
Oh, Anya. Okay, Anya. And so you're not having?
I'm not having any problems.
Any problems. Okay, good. And this is your first INE course. You're in ERC, but they're totally separate sites, so it shouldn't make a difference. All right.
Other people in the chat that have said that they had trouble too.
Other people in the chat are saying they had trouble. All right. I'll make sure that I get with Christina and we'll give her a map of what she needs to do if somebody complains that there's a problem. But we are working on redoing that campaign. Although I went through it personally myself as an old computer science person, I went through every single piece of it and it seemed to be working. All right. All right. I'll save this chat and then we'll see who they are, who the people are, and I'll give the list to Christina and So Tamara says, I use a learning management system that the company pays Bitbuffer. It also does this kind of random glitches. It is frustrating. You know, it's just like, it was working yesterday. Why is it not working today? You know? Anyway, sorry, we try. Karen.
I just had a quick thing I wanted to mention. You had put together a resource list for labs, which was great. But I just wanted to mention for people who didn't know that BioHealth closed in February, so don't try calling them or ordering any labs from them.
I have to go and update.
I'm in a class.
No, it's sad. We're just using Dutch instead, but for hormone saliva testing, which is mostly what we did there, there's other labs like ZRT and others that you can use. The sad part for me about BioHealth is unrelated to blood sugar, but they had the best and most reliable H. pylori test. I mean, I could literally suspect somebody had H. pylori, run it through Genova, and they say, no, they don't have it. And then, well, no, but I know they do. And I'd run it through BioHealth and they'd cast. So for whatever reason, their sensitivity was really, really good. And I'm just disappointed that they are no longer in process. Thank you.
Yeah, there's some talks to try to allow other people to take over the equipment to still run some of the labs, but that's in its infancy. If that's
that would be nice if they could sell it to Genova and let Genova have an effective H. pylori test or something like that, you know? Thank you for sharing that. All right.
I have a question about lab tests and she was bringing it up. I submitted a question form before the last call and I don't know if you get them or not, but.
Where did you find that question form?
Now I don't remember where the form is. I think it was some
site.
It's somewhere on the site. It says submit your call form before the call so that you can see the questions ahead of time.
I didn't even know we had that.
I know.
You told me.
I'll try to find it again and see, but it's one of those. I know how that goes. Do you find it?
I'm looking.
I bet you'll find it somewhere.
Right. So is it under like support?
Maybe it's under the info about the call. Like here's the call information if you want to submit a free call form.
Schedule. Okay. Upcoming.
Yeah. Maybe. So, I'd ask some questions about lab because I was like, you know, a Dutch test gets brought up a lot and so does a comment that you said, and I've heard it in 10,000 other places, but around the I forget what it's called, CY something for the caffeine gene that gets tested.
And like 1B2 or 1A2.
Yeah. So I was looking and to try to find out where someone can easily get that specifically tested, but also in terms of the Dutch test and relation to all that we're doing, just finding a practitioner that can read it easily with someone and just really really look at it thoroughly. I mean, yeah. I want it for my clients, but also for myself in a way that's effective. So I just
Absolutely. So yeah. We have that. We have people who are trained in it. It's a huge part of the NEPT program, yeah. And we do them on case study calls. So people drop in at the beginning of the program and we're suddenly doing Dutches. So it's a little, but it, you know, wow. the more you see it. But because it's just a matter of who brings what up on a call, and yep. You know, we analyze Dutch a lot. So our NEPT grads are all trained and certified in the whole program, so they can do it, and several of them are available for calls. So if you're interested, is Angelica on this call? Because reach out to,
I'll write it down.
I don't know a specific link, but reach out to Angelica@DrRitaMarie.com.
Angelica.
ICA
at
drritamarie.com. Uh-huh. And she'll help you get hooked up with somebody that can do an analysis.
The Dutch, but also the C3PO.
Well, the CYP1A2 is part of the Dutch. Are you signed up for the Shine Online? You guys have a free ticket.
Yeah.
You'll get a lot of what you need to look at those genes. But that's a 23andMe, and we're going to be sending out an email this week. That's on 23andMe. We're going to send out an email this week and just give you some, if you want to get the most out of this, here's some suggested things you do. Assessment things to do. Because I ideally, if you're coming to that, it's always good to do something on yourself first.
That's what I would like to do first before.
To get your own genes or your mom's genes or somebody else's genes that's close to you, and then you just learn. And we're gonna go over that one a bunch.
Well, I wonder if you've already done 23andMe, if there's a way to go back into your thing and say, I want to add this other thing on, or if you have to resubmit.
You don't need it. You don't need to do anything. It's all there.
Oh, then maybe so I didn't know.
If you did 23andMe and you just look at their crappy, in my opinion, health thing, you're not gonna see it. But if you go to 23andMe and then you go to up at the top where your picture is or your name is, whatever, download raw data. You can look right in the raw data right there. CYP1A2, right? That's the one we're talking about. Yep. And it'll show you all the genes related to that. The problem with the raw data is you're going, well, what's it supposed to be? Good? Is this bad? Is it, if there's like two that are different, you go, okay, one of them, it's a yellow, it's a heterozygous SNP. But if not, you don't know. So there's one in particular, and I'll be in the email to everybody who signed up for the genes diet, whatever it is. My day's confused. It's the immune modulation. What we're going to do is send out, like, here's what to go. And my favorite, what do you call them? Like it's a separate place that does a report. It filters it. Is geneticdetoxification.com. There's also Stratagene. There's also Metabolic Healing, but we'll send you that stuff in advance. So if you want to get ahead of the game and get your own done, or get your mother's done, or your sister's, or your brother's, or a client, you can get it done. So you have something as we're going through. It's always helpful, not mandatory, but it's always helpful if you're going through a course like that and you have some real person's stuff and you can make notes.
That would help me just as like examples. Cause some of the stuff that we cover, I know different people learn in different ways, but you know, when we give examples, makes it more real versus just information. So that's how some of us probably learn better, is by those examples in real life cases.
Absolutely. That's why if you go through some of that vault, there are so many cases in there.
Right.
Like years ago, that's all we did on these calls. Somebody would bring cases.
Right. Yeah. Totally makes sense.
So you can see people going through that. Yeah. Cool. Good.
All right. Well, I could ask questions about, there's so many different kinds of tests that exist around all the stuff we're talking about, even with Viome. And I know the people there and I've done some work with them and, you know, getting that tested and then comparing that to, you know, it's so interesting once you start looking at that, and and then layering it with your intuition and then layer all the different layers. But it's fascinating how we can process.
It's totally fascinating. And there's so much, and I'm big into lab. I'm a geek about labs. I'm always keeping the person in mind, not overwhelming them and not overwhelming their budget. Yeah. So my very first approach is, what's the minimum effective dose of testing that we can get done, right? Same thing with any kind of supplements. You always want them on the minimum effective dose. You don't want them way over the top. It saves their budget. It reduces the risk of side effects. Same with labs. And what happens is if you go, oh, there's this lab, and you give somebody this list of $1,000 worth of labs, first of all, they're overwhelmed because like, I don't have $1,000 to spend on labs. But on the other hand, when the lab results come back, you get overwhelmed and they do.
Totally.
It's really hard to prioritize.
Right.
So for this program, I would say the main things is you get them to get a glucose meter for sure.
So well, that I'm trying to learn myself anyway. But yes, the main thing is that.
But the others are like fasting insulin and hemoglobin A1C. Mm-hmm. Those are the main ones. Now, there's triglycerides and HDL, right? And I have that in, there's a document that guys have on lab. And I have a chart that says these are the main ones. And here's some extras, right? If you suspect this person is either in pancreatic failure or may have an autoimmune disease, and it may not be a type 2 diabetic, or it's someone that's heading in that direction, there's some extra tests you want to do. And they're on that list, you know, mm-hmm. antibody tests. But you can overwhelm people's budgets, and you can overwhelm they're already overwhelmed, right? Totally. They're already overwhelmed.
It overwhelms me just going into it. So that's why, I mean, it's a lot for people to digest. So slowing it. Yeah.
I'm going to just share my screen one more time as long as we're there.
Was going to ask you if you could show me where some of the ones are that you're referring to, but yeah.
Well, okay. So if I look over here, on my sidebar. You don't see this because you're not in any PT, but if you look at this, and we're revamping this, so instead of it being a long list like that, we're doing it in units, but these are all the different things we have. We have a whole unit, a whole module on it, digestive assessment, adrenal assessment, thyroid assessment, reproductive assessment, et cetera, et cetera. So it's a stage. You don't like jump in, right? You go through this process of figuring it out. But my favorite one is right there towards the beginning is the blood chem intro. It's like, how do you analyze what's going on in the blood chem? Because it's not just about, it says it's high or it says it's low. So these are all the different pieces we have for how do you look at all these different things in a blood chem? Right? So there's a lot to learn. And the only way to really learn it well is step by step. Okay. So
thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. Like nutritional assessments, where is it? Functional assessments mastery. We just recently pulled this out where you could actually get this program separate from the rest of it, but it's just got all the different assessments, right?
Mm-hmm.
All of them. Dutch, detoxics. Oh, why is that not open yet? Anyway. Oh,
wow. Right. Okay. So got it.
It's a phenomenal, very comprehensive program. So.
Wow. Very cool.
And then in terms of where you would find it in insulin resistance, I think that you should be able to see in the assessments and labs, there's a chart. I know for sure there's a chart in the slides. Let me just go here. There may be the link to a document, but I know it's in the slides for sure. Assessment. There we go. So you've got all those lists, lab testing here, lab testing for insulin resistance and blood sugar dysregulation. There you go. It's right there. So these are the ones that I recommend
that one
as a starting point. So it's on the assessments page.
Assessments page.
And it's under resources, lab testing. And then there's a lab resource list, which is the one that you mentioned, or who was it that mentioned, Tamara mentioned, somebody mentioned, I don't remember who now, that we need to get BioHealth off of there. But this is some of the lab tests that we do.
Karen mentioned it. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah. You're welcome.
Helpful. Yeah. Really helpful.
There's a lot of information there, and you know, you have a multitude of information. There's always the issue of how do you organize it in such a way it's not overwhelmed, but also so that we're not withholding stuff that you have to wait to get it. So that's kind of each page has a video. It has, you always get the slides and everything else, and then transcript too. And then it always has, not all of them, but most of them have some kind of resources section and done for you section. So.
Okay. Yep.
Awesome.
Great. Thank you.
All right. So questions, I'm going to look to see what's in the chat right now. And then feel free to raise your hand either by clicking next to your name. I see Carol has her hand raised, so I'll go there. Carol, unmute you. Carol, you're unmuted. Carol.
Hi.
Hi. Okay.
For the progress checklist for the module two, it's saying practice explaining how to interpret glucose testing. Uh-huh. And is that the physical about how to do it physically to test your blood, or could you explain what it is that you meant by that?
Let me look. It's on the lab assessment page on the, like, the next steps.
It's on the progress checklist, and it's towards the bottom, and it says practice.
Oops. I'm looking to say, practice explaining how to interpret glucose testing. Yeah. So this is like, if you have somebody who has been, they're testing their glucose and they're going, what does this mean? Like, my glucose went up to 220 when I ate that chocolate chip cookie. What does that mean? Oh, my glucose dipped down to 37 2 hours after I ate the chocolate chip cookie, right? Understanding all the stuff that we've taught in this, how do you explain it to someone, right? Also looking at their labs, which we have in there, they're looking at like the hemoglobin A1C and their hemoglobin A1C is 9. How do you explain that to them? Make sure you feel comfortable knowing what that means so that you can explain it. And I feel like the best way to really learn something is to teach it. Right? Because as you start to teach it to somebody, you see some of the holes in your own knowledge, and then you go back and you can add to it. Does that make sense? Does that help?
Yes. Yes. Thank you.
You're welcome. All right. Let me put your hand down, and I don't see any other hands up. Go ahead, Karen.
I just had a quick question. After people start testing their blood glucose, and then once they get directions on how to maybe change their diet, do you ever kind of talk to them about the difference between a slow oxidizer and a fast oxidizer? Or is that not something that you do with?
Not in that terminology per se.
Oh, okay.
Right. But I talk about how everybody's different. And like right now we're getting to like week, whatever we are in week 7 of Sweet Spot, which is the call we're going to go on to next. And people are like, and then there's other people who are like, I barely lost a pound and I'm doing all this stuff. And I talk about the differences biochemically with the rate that they process foods, their metabolic rate, and how can we optimize that? So I don't use those terms per se, but yeah, we talk about that because everybody's different, right? Yeah. Great. Thank you. Let me look at the chat. Yeah. Go ahead. Unmute yourself again. You muted yourself.
So like, I know, that with fasting, it could be dangerous for people when they're not methylating well and they're nutrient deficient. So how can you really assess, someone's nutrient deficiency before you kind of have them start fasting, even if it's just for a day or a half a day, you know, per se?
Look at their diet to start. That's usually a key clue. Oh, yay. You know, Pop-Tarts for breakfast and a sandwich for lunch and some pasta for dinner. And you know, so you can tell that way. You can also use an app like Chronometer, and there's others like that, but I love Chronometer. And you can just have them track everything they're eating. And you go, look at that. Molybdenum is low and magnesium is low and this is low. And then you start to nourish first. So you want to build. In some people, you don't want to fast. You want to build first and then fast, right? Yeah. And the other thing is to try, right? With people like, okay, 12 hours between dinner and breakfast. Some people are not doing even that, right? So you go, okay, usually you have dinner at this time and that. You just slowly inch them up and see how they feel, right? But a lot of it is they shouldn't be doing that because they're metabolically, they don't have metabolic flexibility. They don't have metabolic balance. And we try to restore the metabolic balance. And it's shocking how quickly that happens. To me, it's just shocking for some people how quickly that happens. Okay. Does that help? Super. Okay. What are you looking? Sharon, I'm not sure what your question is. Where did you find these talks? I'm not sure how you got there. I don't have the list of bonuses on my menu. Wow. See, that's another one. I mean, everybody got set up with the same tags. So that's Lisa, Marie.
I found it.
You did? Okay, good.
Yeah. Thank you.
What is the VIP for Shine this time? For Shine Live or Shine Online? So Shine Online, the VIP is three extra bonus trainings and all permanent access to all the recordings and the handouts and some extra goodies like that. For Shine in person, hopefully it's going to be in person. It's you get access to meals. I can't remember which meals, but you get access to a certain number of meals, plus you get some extra bonus trainings, et cetera. Karen said you might need to use Google Chrome. I mean, I would think that people on a Mac can do it with Safari, but I don't think so. I only get this. What's this? Oh, you only get to the main page, not the sub page. All right.
It's okay. I found it through another way. I just have like literally 1,000 little tabs open, but I started to bookmark it and I found it. So no worries.
Oh, good. Okay. Oh yeah. Tamara and both of you. Yeah. Karen. Okay. We got that, Tamara. Okay. So I got that. Yeah, we don't take away access. So once you get through the program, I mean, unless we drop this program and revamp it or whatever, and if we do like a big major update, we usually give people the opportunity to get the new update for like, you know, a fraction of the original price. Those of you who have come back for another time, you saw that we had given you 80% discount to come back again. So Ronnie, did you get yours resolved? I don't know what is correct URL for what. You asked. No, Mary said, I got 97 on module one test. Yeah, way to go. You don't have to, you know, as long as it's over 80, then you're fine and you don't have to go back and take it again. Ronnie, did you figure out what your question was or did you get it answered?
I didn't get it answered. The only time I can find the right URL is if I go in from the original email I got welcoming me into the
right
program.
URL to what? To the
website? Yeah, to get into IRS PT protocol, you know, the coursework and stuff.
Huh. If you go.
Otherwise, like if I Google it, there's like a gazillion pages. And
Google, you can get in because it's protected membership site access only. So if you go to inemembers.com, look at the top, inemembers.com, that's the main site. And if you go to the main IRSPT, let's see, you just go to inemembers.com, right? And that will get you there. So no, you can't get through this to Google. It's all, you know, gated and protected. But if you click here, if you just go to inemembers.com, even if you don't have the direct, but if you just go to inemembers.com/IRSPT, and that'll get you there. See this up here? I'll put it in.
Yeah. And you'll just save your password. And if you save your password, then you'll be able to get in really easily each time.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, if you have a RoboForm or LastPass or something like that, but if not, Google Chrome will usually save it. I don't know how it is on Safari. I'll put this in the chat. There you go. Okay, let's see. Can I review the purpose of finding the peak in the blood sugar after the meals? Yeah, I mean, that's like the critical piece that you wanna know. If somebody eats a meal and you keep testing and it goes up, 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 and then comes back down, that's the peak. That will tell you how metabolically stable they are, how well their insulin receptors are working. Right. So what you want to do is you figure that out and it's going to be different from each meal, so to speak. Right. If they eat lettuce and tomato and avocado, it's likely going to go up to not very high. But if they have lettuce and tomato and brown rice and bread or whatever, it's going to go up much higher. And what we've been doing now this year, and I think it worked better than in past years. In past years, we've given people a lot of do this and do that. And these things are all great things to keep your blood sugar stable and take these supplements. What we did this time is like, we want you to get a week's worth of data, or at least 5 days worth of data on whatever you're eating now. So no changes, right? If you're eating bologna sandwiches every day for lunch, eat bologna sandwiches. Let's see what that does. If you're eating pizza, drinking beer, whatever. So we have them do 5 days of that. They give us the sheets. If you're working one-on-one, you'd have them give you the sheet. And then you'd go through and go, oh, look, it looks like every time you eat X, your sugar goes way higher than it should. But look at this meal. This was really good. And then you start to teach them the things they need to do. So that's the peak. It's really important. Now, the time to the peak is going to vary from person to person and from meal, could be from meal to meal. But sometimes people say, no matter what I eat, the peak is always at 45 minutes. And then it comes back down. If that's the case, then you can like give them less testing to do. You can say, well, instead of testing every 15 minutes so we don't miss the peak, you can say, oh, let's test you right after your meal to see where it is. And then let's test you at a half an hour, 45 minutes just to see where it is. So you don't have to do it so often. The reason I have them test every 15 minutes is because I don't want to miss the peak. And it's easy to do, right? And you think, oh, this is fine because that you got it before it hit the peak and after it got to hit the peak, but you never really caught the peak. So when you're seeing it going up and then you see it coming down, and some people have weird things where it goes back up again, but that's more advanced. And we'll talk about that further along. Does that make sense? Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Dr. Murray. Rita Marie, along those lines, can you have someone that would say start to experience symptoms of what we would call like low blood sugar symptoms, like the dizziness or kind of those same symptoms, but then when they test, they're still high.
Yeah.
Is that because
it happens all the time.
How are you doing?
Okay. Would you explain that as like because they have the sensitivity, they're reset to their low is actually still high?
It's because the sugar's in the wrong place. So the sugar's in the blood, not in the brain, not in the muscles, not in the organs. The sugar's just sitting in the blood and it's not able to get into the cells.
Right? Okay. Yeah. Okay. So that makes sense. So because they have the sensitivity, they're not taking in the sugar. And then you have those real symptoms of
very real
blood sugar.
Yeah,
because it's not getting into the cells properly.
Yeah, absolutely. And it wasn't until I started to do this on larger scales that I started to see that very common, very, very common. I have these low blood sugar things. And one person in one of my first programs, group programs, she says, I always have these lows, these like, oh, I just feel like I got to eat something right now. She goes, tested my blood sugar. It was 202.
You want a hamburger?
So
that's Violet needs to mute herself, maybe.
Is it Violet?
Violet, yeah. It's happening.
I have a question regarding this is Jenny Jupiter. Hi. So
give me 1 second. You know what I'm gonna do? I'm gonna mute all and then then you can unmute yourself. That way
perfect.
You don't have people talking in the background. Okay, go ahead and unmute yourself, Jenny.
Okay, great. Can you hear me now?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, cool. So I'm so excited about this program, and I'm figuring out that I probably am, you know, starting to have insulin resistant issues. So it motivates me even more, and I'm so excited to catch this. But I was going through the module and listening last night. So 80 to 95, that's where people want. We want people's blood sugar to be even when they're not doing the cleanse. Like that's the stage that's
whoa.
Tell me.
Okay. We want it much lower. So fasting glucose, we want 80 to 85 ideally, right? All the time.
Whether you're doing the cleanse.
Is really a life thing. Like what they have to do to stay there may change as we get more sensitive, but those numbers are not. And over 110, we don't want them ever going over 110, if possible. Like every now and then I'm looking and going, okay, my blood sugar just went to 125. What did I do? Right? And I look back and for me, it's usually I ate too much. I overate. I didn't eat all day long. And then I like packed it in and I'm feeling that fullness and the blood sugar goes up because it's too much influx at a time. And for each person, we want to figure out if they are going above 110, what is it? Now, if it's an occasional thing, you're not going to be able to explain it. Like, everybody wants this. I want to know why. I don't know why, right? Maybe you were pissed off at your neighbor because they were, you know, doing the lawnmower when you were trying to listen to a podcast. And would you just stop that? And boom, your blood sugar goes up because your cortisol goes up, right?
Okay.
Yeah.
Right. So you want it, the goal is to have it more like 70 to 80 is more sort of like where, like that's what normal blood sugar should be. That's kind of where we're trying to get people.
You know, low 80s for fasting is fine. I personally like to keep mine in the 70s.
Okay.
I feel better that way. I go by hunger. Like if I'm feeling like I'm starving, I can't get enough to eat. I know my blood sugar is screwy. I know that's why. It's not that it's low. It's usually that it's too high. And when my blood sugar is high, I've been doing this for a long time. Like, I'm going to go eat a whole mango and a pineapple and see what it does to me. And boom, my sugar goes high. And all I could think of is, what can I eat next? What can I eat next? What can I eat next? When you have people like that, it's usually because their blood sugar goes high and the body's going, we need more sugar. It's not getting into the cells.
I see. Okay. Hey, thanks so much. I'm really enjoying all this learning.
Great. Thank you. I'm glad you are. All right. So Barbara's another one that can't access. I'm writing people's names down, Barbara. Module two. Okay. So Julie asked, what's a good peak look like? You know, good peak is they start before meals at something like 85. Let's just say 85. They eat their meal. It creeps up at about 45 minutes. It hits no more than 110. And then it comes down slowly. And in about 2 hours, it's somewhere close to 85. Maybe it's 90. Right? Maybe it is 85. If it goes lower, if suddenly at 2 hours or 3 hours or even 4 hours, it's down at 50, that's reactive hypoglycemia. And that's a concern, right? Because if it goes high, some people don't have a real high peak. They just go up and then their body overproduces insulin. You produce so much insulin that all of that sugar goes crashing into the cells or into the fat. And suddenly at 3 hours, they're like, they're plummeted. And those people will feel that, like that shaky, irritable, cranky kind of feeling, right? So we can feel that shaky, irritable, cranky at either end. And it's up to us when we're working with somebody to figure out why. Oh, 53. Okay, I got a few more minutes. Okay. Does decaf coffee have a negative impact because the caffeine is removed? It could create acidity because of the tannins in there. Right. So in terms of blood sugar, it's not going to really raise the cortisol so much as and cause the high blood sugar, but it can definitely be a problem with the acidity. Niacin can cause blood sugar to rise. I mean, there's a number of studies. It doesn't in everyone. So that's where you just be careful. And I say that in the supplement list and in the other piece. Dr. I just saw a new macro calculator. Is this worth exploring? I don't know. See what it does. I personally like the chronometer. I don't think everybody, you know, somebody should be 80% fat and this much and that much. I don't know. I think it varies from person to person, right? And we just have to find, I don't pay attention so much unless I'm doing one of these fasting with food type of things, fasting while feasting, the fasting mimicking type diet. That's where those numbers make a difference. But I don't know. I don't know about that.
Dr. Rita Marie.
What's that?
Sorry, may I just ask something?
You had your hand up and I forgot to come back.
Sorry, no problem. Sorry, last week we ran out of time because you were really busy with questions and I took it into sweet spot, but it wasn't appropriate. Can I just ask you, you know, when I have had a good HbA1c, middle of the road, yeah? Mm-hmm. But I know that I've got problems with hyper and hypoglycemia.
Yeah.
So I was trying to, a friend, I've been working with her and she's massively dysregulated. And she said to me, so how comes my HbA1c has been fine then? Why do I keep it? And I was like, oh, and I was trying to explain. So it goes with what you've just said. If someone is swinging between the two, why would they have a good middle HbA1c then?
Because their average, it's the average blood glucose over the last 3 to 4 months. A1c is not as accurate as it could be, right? So it's a marker. There's other markers that they're working on. There's something called Glycomark that I haven't really explored much, but that's a newer one. Fructosamine, which is a shorter term than it, but people who are athletic or people who have, you know, specific blood disorders where they're actually either their blood cells last longer were there lasting shorter? Because this is an average, right?
Yeah.
Over 3 months.
Okay. And I haven't touched caffeine for many years. I just can't tolerate it. I've known that even before any of the learning. But I know that you absolutely know to coffee and whatever, and I agree with that. But if someone does add green tea in, which...
Yeah, so here's the thing with green tea and some of the matchas and some of the caffeinated things that have just a little bit, even raw cacao, there's a lot of antioxidants in there. And it's just a little bit of the tea, and it doesn't seem to have an effect on most people, but some people, green tea, you know?
I can't tolerate even green tea. So I just wondered why.
It might be, if you looked at your genes, that you have the CYP1A2, which it does about 75% of the metabolism of caffeine.
Oh, well, that's
underactive there. You're going to have a problem.
Well, that makes sense. And I also understand its influence on estrogen. So, yeah.
Yeah,
so,
exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
Okay. Cool. Lovely. Thanks.
All right. Who else? Somebody else. This is the last question, because then we have to go on to seed set. Karen.
So in the assessment module, you were explaining how that, you know, the glucose reading is different from the insulin. Yeah. So I'm under the impression that, you know, if someone's got their meter and they're testing themselves, you know, before and after meals, that's like kind of one picture. But then you're saying, oh, if someone has low glycemic food, it could still shoot the insulin up. But the, like you said, the insulin isn't something that we're testing as much. So how do you reconcile that?
Right. How do you know? So they've done some studies. They're small studies, but they've done studies where they calculated and they did the mapping and they did all that. Right. And it was only certain foods that did it. It was mostly high protein foods. Dairy, whey protein in particular, was the biggest culprit. Doesn't raise the glucose, but it raises the insulin. They found a few kinds of fish that did it as well. And it's in which module?
I think it's in the second, the assessment.
That study is in there though. That study is in either that, it's probably in the nutrition module. So it might be in module 3.
So you're just like letting people know the effects of, you know, gluten and dairy on their insulin receptors, because they're not, you know, assessing their insulin as much.
Yeah, we can have them go get the go buy 2 insulin tests, go to the lab in the morning, go eat a meal, then go and get it 45 to an hour later and see what their insulin is doing. And I do that with sometimes. It's pain, so I don't do it on everybody. But we start with the fasting insulin, right? If they have a high fasting insulin, I say, look, you don't want anything else that's going to raise your insulin. These are things that are known to raise your insulin, even though they don't raise your sugar. And so you just give them the list.